Oh, sorry. Y'all, this is my first sermon. And I made the mistake early in the program, and I was beginning to think I was going to be just fine, but I just skipped a whole bunch of words. So let's go back, please. I began to think differently about the laughter of Sarah in our scripture today. I began to think of the laughter of a child in the moment of surprise. Later on that morning, I heard an adult walking down the hall with one of the children. The child asked, "What about Friday? What will happen then?" The adult said, "There will be water play." The child expressed a moment of disbelief and then squealed with a laugh of joy she could hardly believe all the wonderful promises in store for her that week. I began to wonder if maybe Sarah's laugh had an element of joy, or perhaps wonder at the promise that she'd just heard. I usually set up in the library during the week. It is especially helpful to see and peruse the different books from the different eras here at Long Memorial, as well as the things that are around the room and, for that matter, the whole church. It helps me to orient myself to the congregation, as well as the culture. So when I got back to the library, I went through a few of the children's storybooks that are on the shelf. There's a whole shelf of children's storybooks, and realized I'd been caught up in my own memories, and I had not seen this scripture in a new way in a long time. At that moment, I accepted that I was going to have to tell some of my story in this sermon to help acquaint myself with you. You see, as a student, I'm only here 10 weeks. And as hard as it is to believe, this is already the end of the third week. I'm only a sojourner through this place. And so I will tell a bit of my story, but first let's talk about the scripture. It was a tradition in Abraham's time to show hospitality to strangers, even on a hot afternoon. Abraham offers his visitors water to wash their feet, and a meal while they rest. Some say Abraham recognized the Lord at a glance, but most see this as part of pure hospitality of the culture of the time. Any visitor that would visit, Abraham would have treated this way. The visitors accept the offer, and Abraham rushes to tell Sarah, "We've got company," so she can prepare a quick meal, and he runs off to the herd. Now, we have all the main characters of the passage, and it seems like not many, but again, we remember that they're in the middle of a giant camp at this time. But it hasn't always been that way. Abraham is about 100 years old at that time, and Sarah is about 90. They are in the land of Canaan, southwest of Hebron, amongst the oaks in the plains of Mamre. It has been 72 years since God had promised Abraham, then in far-off Haran, that he would become a great nation. God had later told Abraham that his descendants would be as many as stars in the sky. Abraham had believed God, and God had reckoned Abraham's faith to him as righteousness. To be sure, Abraham had faith. But what about Sarah? She is in the tent, it's hot, and she has just been told to fix a meal for visitors. Abraham had already had multiple encounters with God, but Scripture does not indicate that Sarah has had any until now. As she is preparing the meal, she overhears one of them say that she will bear a child, and she laughs. After being challenged, Sarah denies that she laughed, and we hear a key message from this passage: is anything too great for the Lord? Most people believe Sarah's laughter indicates doubt. But as I said earlier, the encounter with the children this week made me think about this in a different way, and I think the best way to illustrate this is through a portion of my own story. It was forecast to be a hot day in August of 2013. It was Saturday. I had not slept well, and I woke early in the morning. I felt the need to go out into the Eno Forest behind our house for some meditation and prayer. It had been a long, hard year, and I had many worries. In fact, I can say it felt like a crisis moment. So I got out of bed and went down to a path and started walking back and forth, hoping to calm down. But calm did not come. The things I was worried about were real, but I couldn't do anything about them. And as it turns out, they weren't really the problem anyway. The real problem was my sin and that I was distant from the Lord. I ended up pacing back and forth for 8 hours. I came in and had a meal that my precious wife had prepared, and I went back out for 4 more hours. All that time, though my worries turned out insignificant, my sin was always before me. After all that walking, I was exhausted and I slept like a baby. The next morning was Communion Sunday. And after taking communion, I asked to be anointed. After the service, while waiting for Sunday school to start, I leaned my head back against the wall behind me and closed my eyes. I began to sense a feeling on my forehead, right where the sign of the cross had been traced with oil. It seemed as if the frontal cortex began to move. I heard the word, yes. And with that, it was in every experience, every worry, every sin that I had considered the prior day just vanished into the cosmos. At that moment, the Sunday school teacher came in and said, "Good morning, class." And I opened my eyes. I don't remember what was said in that Sunday school service. The next thing I remember is talking to my wife and trying to explain what I thought had happened. I felt a sudden urge to run outside into my shop out behind my garage. And I fell down on my knees in the midst of tears, basking in God's grace. And unexpectedly, I heard, "Do you accept this?" And I laughed. And I said, "Do I have any other choice?" That's a pretty lame response to the God of all creation, I admit that. But that's what I said with a laugh. It took almost 2 years, roughly 18 months, to discern what I had actually accepted. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I went through three phases of doubt. And the first was, "I'm not capable." But I found myself day after day running into people in ministry situations and all sorts of activities. And it would turn out great. And sometimes instantly, sometimes in the next day, sometimes it took as many as 2 days, the Lord would point out to me, "Now, you didn't know I was teaching you that in 1992, did you?" So that took, as I said, 16 months, and that was the longest time. The shortest was 2 weeks, and it was the next one, and that was, "I'm too old." At the end of the 2 weeks, I woke up one Sunday morning and could not get out of bed. I was sick. I told my wife I was sick and that I was going to have to stay there, and as soon as she left, I fell asleep. But I didn't sleep long. I woke up, and I turned on the TV, and of all things, Dr. Charles Stanley was preaching. And I sat there and I listened to that sermon for a while, and I thought, "Man, this is a good sermon." And then I sat there a few more seconds, and then I thought, "I wonder how old he is." He paused, and he looked through that television screen, and he said, "I'm 80 years old." I said, "Okay, God, no such thing as too old." The final stage of doubt was, "I'm not worthy." And that turned out to be more or less another "I'm not capable," just in a different form. And so that only took about a month and a half. So finally, I really would like to thank, I ran into in that whole time, two lay ministers and four ordained pastors really helped me through that whole time. And we cannot underestimate the value of the connection in the United Methodist denomination, because I don't know that I could have gotten through it without their guidance and help. So finally I discerned the call was to be an elder in the United Methodist Church. And it took me a couple of days of prayer to deal with the emotion that overcame me. That month, that very month, I turned 55 years old and achieved 30 years of service with my employer. That very week that I discerned the call, I received a severance package, including a pension and financial aid that I applied to Divinity School. Since then, as long as I've stayed on this path, things like that have just happened. But there's another way of looking at that. It took me 18 months to comprehend that the doubt I had in myself was actually doubt in the wondrous nature of the Lord. And so I felt a kinship with Sarah as I was reading this scripture. And yet, to this day, I still have doubt. In fact, I admit that at one point, I doubted I'd finish this sermon. But the Lord was faithful, and thankfully, I'm telling the story. Last week, we heard that even Jesus' disciples had doubts. And you heard it in the children's sermon as well, that doubt is something we all deal with. Jesus assured them that they had been given the authority in heaven and earth. And as Jeff had said, Jesus said to them, "Go, church, go." Here, Abraham and Sarah are told to wait another year. When Sarah laughed and perhaps doubted, the Lord said, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" For years, Sarah had followed Abraham and his promises from God. She had demonstrated the faith that Jesus told Thomas of. "Blessed are the ones who have not yet seen and yet believe." But now Sarah had been in the presence of the Lord, and so she awaited the arrival of her son with an increased faith in God. As I left the church on Friday, still wondering how I was going to tell this story, and honestly whether I was going to finish the sermon, I received one more reminder of God's faithfulness. As I walked to the car, I heard laughter again and looked over my left shoulder to see the children, enjoying their water play that they'd been promised earlier in the week. Just like Sarah, whose promise of a child was fulfilled, these children were enjoying their water play that had been promised. And just like the Lord promised, I stand in front of you delivering my first sermon as a pastor. Thanks be to God. We may be sent, as were the disciples. We may be told to wait, as were Abraham and Sarah in this passage. There is no telling what might be our call. The question is, what then? Will we wait on the Lord, or will we go at our own pace? I pray that we will remember that there is indeed nothing too wonderful for our Lord with the faith of a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.